for the sake of decency. But a man was crucified naked. He was subjected to public ridicule and to shame. That was the whole point of the crucifixion, to prove that he is not the Messiah. And the way we prove that is we crucify him. According to the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, a man who is hanged on the cross is accursed by God. So their point was simply this, that if Jesus really was the Messiah, he couldn't be on a cross. The fact that he's on a cross proves that he is not the Messiah as described in the Bible. So what is the problem? The problem is that the New Testament Gospels show that Jesus, alayhi salam, went around telling people that he is the Messiah. So if he went around claiming this, and then the enemy did this to him, that just simply proves him to be the false Messiah. It's like for you if you said that somebody is a false prophet. So Christians now have to prove that Jesus, alayhi salam, really did resurrect from the dead. Because then they would be able to say, oh, you guys thought you killed him. You guys thought you defeated our Messiah. But you see, you couldn't hold him down. Even death couldn't hold him down. He really is the Messiah after all. Because only the Messiah could have conquered death like this man. Look, he's alive again after you had killed him. You have to take this man seriously. So now, Christians would have to prove that Jesus, alayhi salam, is resurrected from the dead in order to prove that he is the true Messiah. And their argument is that Christianity would not have been born if Jesus had not resurrected from the dead. If he just simply died on the cross, he was put in a tomb and left there forever, even his own disciples would no longer believe in him. In fact, the Gospels say that when he was arrested, they forsook him and fled. So the Christian missionaries tell us that the disciples at that moment would have concluded that Jesus is the false Messiah. All of their hopes that Jesus was the true Messiah would have been killed the very moment Jesus was put on the cross. The only way they could turn around and believe in Jesus is when Jesus actually appeared to them alive again, proving to them that he had conquered death. Now think of the logic of that now. Think of what they're admitting if you trace it to its logical conclusion. What they're saying is that if you and I were there with the disciples on the Friday evening after the crucifixion, we should think that Jesus is the false Messiah. But if we are there with the disciples on Sunday evening, when they see Jesus alive again, we should think that Jesus is the true Messiah. But now, think it through with me. If you believe in the Quran, you believe that Isa alayhi salam is the true Messiah. Is there a Muslim in this room who believes that Isa alayhi salam is not the true Messiah? No Muslim, right? How many of you believe that Isa alayhi salam is the true Messiah? Yes, of course. Al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam Rasulullah. Okay. Now, if the missionary comes to you and say, well, put aside your Quran because your Quran came 600 years later, we can't listen to that. You say, okay, well, suppose we put aside the Quran for the moment. Let me listen to you now. What do you have to tell me? Okay, tell me the story from the Gospels. So you go, you know, he was born there, he went there, and then suddenly they arrested him, then they crucified him. That's Friday, Good Friday. Nothing good about that Friday, but you call it Good Friday anyway. So they crucify him on that Friday. So there I am on a Friday evening. What should I conclude now? He's the false Messiah. He says, well, wait a minute, I'm getting to the resurrection part. Say, okay, let's go to the resurrection part. If you allow them to read the four Gospels, and I don't have time now to elaborate because Sheikh Abdul Hakim is already here and his talk is going to come up now in 2 seconds flat. But if you allow them to read for you from the four Gospels, that section dealing with the resurrection, it's always the last chapter. The last chapter of each Gospel, except the Gospel of John, which has 2 chapters on this. And the only reason for that is that somebody came along later on and added a second chapter into the Gospel according to John. So it's easy for you to remember. If any missionary comes to talk to you, ask them, can you read me the last chapter of each Gospel? You think you can remember that? Yes, just read me the last chapter of each Gospel. Not one Gospel only, but all the four Gospels. Jazakumullah khair. Being very generous with me, Imam. Shukra. Jazakumullah khair. Alright, so not just one Gospel, but all of the four Gospels. And then what you do is you take notes. Now, you may not remember that I said that the Gospel according to John has two chapters on this, but when you get to the last chapter of John, if that's where they got to, you will know that there's something before it. So you'll say, oh, well, wait a minute, just back up one chapter, please, so we get the full context here. It'll go back one chapter for you. Now you take your notes. Write down questions and see what is the answer to these questions. For example, four Gospels, they tell you that the female disciples of Isa alayhi salam went to the tomb on the Sunday morning. So who were the women that went? At what time of day did they go? For what reason did they go to visit the tomb? How did they find the tomb? In other words, in what condition was the tomb? Was it open? Was it closed? Whom did they meet there? What message did this person or persons or angel or angels give to the women? What did the women do after getting this instruction? Whom did they go and tell? Did they remain silent and told nobody, as Mark says? Or did they run and tell the disciples, as Matthew says? You will find that to all of these questions, there are two, three, sometimes four different answers in the Gospels. The Gospels contradict each other regarding to whom Jesus appeared, when he appeared, in what form, in what manner, how did they see him, and so on. And the reason for these contradictions is that in the earliest Gospel, there was no proof or evidence that Jesus resurrected from the dead. But as the later Gospels come along, they improve upon the story to introduce evidence to show that Jesus resurrected from the dead. So then, if you were to take the four Gospels in a chronological sequence, Mark is the earliest of the four Gospels to be written, although it appears second in every New Testament today. But Mark is the first, according to the conclusions of the generality of Christian biblical scholars. Mark first, John last. If you look at the story, the way it is told in Mark, and then you see how it is told in Matthew and Luke, and then how it is told in John, you will see that in Mark you have very little evidence that Jesus resurrected from the dead. But in John, lots of evidence. You will see that in Mark, it is not even certain that Jesus died. But in John, it is definite. You know, in John they have it that, you know, somebody came and took a spear and thrust it into his side, and immediately blood and water gushed out of there. You have to make sure this man is really dead. Because if he wasn't dead, he didn't resurrect from the dead. True? So you have to make sure that he's dead. So the last of the Gospels, make sure of that. All right. You ask, what about the witnesses? How do we know that this was really Jesus up there? Were there eyewitnesses who gave the information for the Gospels? According to Mark, the first Gospel, the women disciples, who were the only ones around, because, you know, the males had forsaken him and fled, the women disciples were looking at this from afar. That's the first Gospel. In the last one, it says that not only the women disciples, but his own mother was there at the foot of the cross. I remember all the male disciples had forsaken him and fled. But in this fourth Gospel, one of the disciples, John, who is said to be the author of this Gospel, he is there at the foot of the cross also. So they can be sure, yeah, the man up there is really Jesus. So if Muslims come now and say, well, wait a minute, ma qataluhu wa ma salabuhu walakin shubbiha lahum, what are you talking about? We have eyewitnesses who were there at the foot of the cross. But then, if you tell them to look at the chronological sequence of how these Gospels were written, and you look at the first Gospel, where were the disciples? Nobody knows. They forsook him and fled. Who was at the foot of the cross? Nobody, because his women disciples were looking from afar. Right? Go back to that earlier record and see what happens there. All right, very quickly to wrap it up now. In the first Gospel, what is the evidence that Jesus had resurrected from the dead? It says that on the Sunday morning, when the women disciples went to look at the tomb, they found that the tomb was already opened. And a young man in white clothing said to them, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's not here. Look at the place where they had laid him. He is risen. But go and tell his disciples that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will meet him as he told you." And the women disciples then, what did they do? According to the Gospel according of Mark, in chapter 16, verse number 8, the women disciples fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And that's the end of the gospel there. In all the ancient manuscripts you can find of this gospel, that's the last of it. It's done. It makes you wonder, how did this gospel even came to be written? If the women said nothing to anybody because they were afraid, how did Mark even find this out to write it in his gospel? But if you ask the more serious question, what is the evidence here that Jesus resurrected from the dead? There's no evidence. What you have is an empty tomb, a missing body. And a young man saying that Jesus had risen. A young man in white clothes. Now some would want to press and say, well, yeah, that's an angel. But, you know, that's an assumption, right? To assume that it's an angel. The gospel specifically says it's a young man in white clothes. I mean, I'm a young man and sometimes I do wear white clothes. So there is no solid evidence there in the earliest gospel that Jesus appeared to his disciples alive so they can see that he is really alive and that he conquered death. But the later gospels, as I say, try to improve upon that information. In fact, they give more evidence. They say that Jesus appeared on this occasion or in that occasion. And you can see the later the gospels, the more information you have, the more evidence you have, the more occasions he appears, the more people he appears to, and the more clarity in the appearances, so that they're really sure that they see Jesus. But then let's take it step by step. Well, not in every step, because I have to watch my time. I have to wrap this up very quickly. A key problem, apart from the contradictions, is that even if you just take the stories as they are, and you try to give them a sympathetic hearing, and say, okay, let's see what your eyewitness evidence is saying here. Okay, you have a man in court saying, I did see Jesus. Okay, what does he have to say? How did he recognize Jesus? Now, you would expect that the disciples of Jesus, who had given up all their property, given up their family and everything, they came and they walked and lived with Jesus for the last 3 years, preaching with him and so on, they would be able to recognize Jesus as soon as they see him. They see my brother Ali, and they say, you know, my friend. You know, when I saw him at the, when I came last night and I saw him, you know, immediately we recognized each other, although we hadn't seen each other for 2 years, Achi. True? Yeah, so there's no difficulty there. I didn't have to say, but wait a minute, let me see your passport for a minute. Are you the same, Achi? You know. The Gospels show that when it is claimed that Jesus appeared to his disciples, invariably they at first do not recognize him. And when they do recognize him, it is not from his face or his voice. It is from some other feature. For example, on one occasion, according to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus appeared to his disciples on the mountaintop. Remember the young man in white clothes said to the women, go and tell my disciples to go to Galilee, there they will see me. So apparently the disciples now did go to Galilee. See, Mark promised it, and now Matthew is delivering it. Okay? So the disciples do go to Galilee, and they see him. And they worshipped him, but they doubted. Matthew chapter 28 verse 17 says, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And you want to know, what does it mean they doubted? Some of the translators tried to turn the words away from the obvious meaning and camouflage the problem here by saying some doubted. That means they can still say some of the disciples really believed and knew it was Jesus, but some others doubted. But the Greek really says, they doubted. What do you mean they doubted? Doubted what? One Bible translation says, some were not sure it really was Jesus. That's the Living Bible. Some were not sure it really was Jesus. What do you mean they were not sure it really was Jesus? So why were they even worshipping? See, they see something, they're not sure is it Jesus or not, so it could be God, could be not, and they're still worshipping. Why are they worshipping? Something that they don't even know. So you see, there's a problem here, but the key point is, if they saw him and they were not sure, how could they come stand in a court of law and give testimony and say, yeah, I saw Jesus, he resurrected from the dead? They can't. So that evidence is not valid. All right, we go to the Gospel according to Luke. It says that two of the disciples of Jesus were walking along on a country road, and then Jesus came along and started walking along with them and joined in their conversation. Now you have to think about it. If two persons are walking along on a country road and some stranger comes up to them and joins in their conversation, the first thing they're going to do is to look at this person to see who is this stranger here that comes along and starts to join in our conversation. This is not like you walking along in downtown Oslo and